now time for the Port Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for joining us for episode 3 of the Port Podcast. Really great show that we've got for you today. We've got a very special guest, Tanya Chapman. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you're definitely an anticipated guest since we've started the podcast and also all the work that you've been doing with the port. I've been really excited to learn a lot more about it, so really excited to have you on today. And Craig, hello.
Hello.
How's your day going?
Very good. We've been teasing Tanya a lot.
We have. It's been a couple of weeks in the making, so it's about time that we get down and chat and talk about what's going on.
Absolutely.
So thanks, everybody. If you have gotten into the last episode about cranes and shipping lanes and all things port, it was a really fun episode to record. And you might have heard us teasing a little bit about, you know, the strategic plan and the vision that Tanya's helped put together. And we're going to be talking a little, well, actually mostly about that today. And we really hope that you enjoy today's episode. Tanya, can you tell the folks who might know you or who don't know you at all or maybe have heard of the Chapman Group what it is that you do and who you are?
Sure. We're actually entering the end of our 10th year in business, so it's pretty exciting milestone for us.
There you go.
And in the last 10 years, we really do 4 major things. The first thing we do is help organizations get really clear about where they're going. So strategic planning, operational planning, scorecards, understanding how to achieve the performance that they want to achieve. The second piece of work that we do is traditional human resource consulting. So everything from implementing performance management systems to compensation reviews to recruitment projects. The third stream of work is we become the HR department for companies who have under 100 people who may or may not want a full-time HR person.
Right.
And finally, we do executive leadership development and training. And we've really designed those programs and those offerings over the last 10 years. And that's why I think the work with the port has been so inspiring for us, because it really hits on some of the work that we love to do, which includes helping organizations transform to perform.
I love that, transform to perform. That's a really great, do you guys have that trademarked?
I'm not sure if it's trademarked, but it's certainly all over our website.
Well, I love that.
Any lawyers out there, just,
yeah.
Hey.
Tanya may be calling you.
That's right.
Or you should call Tanya. No, that's, I really like that. And I think sometimes it's really important to not get tunnel vision in some things. And although there might be experts internally, it's always nice to see different perspectives. Scorecards, like you said, are so important. And those are some things that can be missed that will be huge opportunities for organizations from a continuous improvement perspective to really double down on and succeed. So I love that stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's been, when we oftentimes what happens is we'll get a call to say, can you help us with our performance management system? Yeah. And we'll say, yeah, absolutely. What are your strategic goals? And that's what really we have to start with, is the ability to understand, what is your vision? What's your purpose? What are your values? Because in order for us to focus on performance, you know, a culture of performance, that has to be the start. And that's really what we started with the port.
Yeah. So you've been helping us for a little over 5 years now in many different aspects. What have been your impressions of working with the port?
Well, I mean, I think I've told you this a few times, but the port has an exceptional employee value proposition that is unlike any of the other organizations that we work with in so many different ways. I think the ability to really see to inspiring not only the professional part of somebody's life, but also the personal part of somebody's life is it's a competitive differentiator for you when it relates to employee engagement. And that's been very clear since I started working with you.
Great.
Yeah.
That's what we like to hear. That's what we're trying. I mean, that's what one of those things we're going to talk about today, about leadership and execution on projects. You can have lots of goals and ambitions, but the devil is often in the detail. And we need, as an organization, outside counsel from someone like Tanya to help us realize sometimes that which we already know and that which we don't know, and giving that outside perspective. And I'll just do a quick plug here, because I've been mentioning it for the first two podcasts. Tanya has been transformational for us for many years. And really, in 2022, we asked her to take on something have an even higher presence at the port, helping us put together our vision, values, purpose, and then staying on with us to help us execute our master plan that we're going to talk about in this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's a kind of an unusual process, you know, talking again about differentiators as employers, the engagement process in talking about vision, values, and purpose has been substantially different from most organizations, I would say, and it has become your superpower.
Yeah, I could say, I mean, and it might seem biased because I'm now starting to work here and I'm doing the podcast, but I could say, like, I've lived here my whole life, almost 34 years. I've known people that have worked at the port. I've always really thought the work that they did was very cool, very proud that we had that work here. But now, even just 6, 8, 9 weeks in, the amount of which I'm learning, like, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And from a leadership perspective, someone might think, well, yeah, I know what a vision is or what a mission statement is, but what does that really, and why are we hiring people to do those things? And it's like, it actually, that structure is so integral because it's not just, let's say, 100 people working here. And it's multiple ports doing global business with our little big town is what I call St. John.
Yeah. Yeah,
and absolutely. So sometimes, you know, this stuff, and I say this just from my own perspective, creating these documents and doing the research might seem not super important to a lot of people, but it actually is the very structure that is able to bring new business. It's able to bring in new talent. It's able to keep the port healthy. And so I've been really, really excited after seeing some of it at the mixer. Mm. That was really cool, and seeing some of the slides in it and, you know, seeing where it's going. So I've been really excited for this episode, just even just as a St. Johner, mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, like we did talk a little bit before the episode started, if you're the average person and you're not working here or you're not affiliated to certain parts of the business, then why do you care?
Yep.
And what does it mean to you? But at the end of the day, we all know people that are looking for good work, good leaderships, great employment opportunities, ways to learn about our city. And the port does a great way of doing that through their communications and through, like, employment. So, yep.
Absolutely.
And that's why we're trying to do this podcast is, yeah, we keep saying this episode after episode is to tell that more detailed, nuanced story.
Yeah.
Because we do so many different weird and wild things. It's hard to communicate that on a daily basis. So hopefully we're engaging the audience and going to get lots of feedback in the coming weeks so that we can tell stories that go into a little more detail so people can have context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the unique part of this process was that I didn't go away with data and information to design the vision, purpose, and values. Instead, what we did was work through a process where everybody in the whole organization was involved in the construction of the vision, purpose, and values.
Yep.
And we did that in a very intentional way through a variety of workshops.
Right.
And then continued to go back and revisit the values, the purpose, and the vision.
Yep.
In such a way that really captured the essence of what it meant for people.
Yeah.
And we did that by talking about things like, you know, where have you been and what do you stand for, right, as a port? And
right.
What are the successes that you've had or accomplishments in the last couple of years, and how do you build on that? Because in order to build strategy, you actually have to go back to your foundation.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah.
Well, and I'm great segue. So let's get into how this happened. So I'll give my kind of small perspective, and you dive in just like you did there about how we rolled it out early days. But I had two premises. One, we wanted to use Tanya to help us,
yep,
because we've really enjoyed, you know, working with you through the years, and I knew you could facilitate and tease out ideas that our employees and our board of directors already had. And the second was we needed to have a vision, purpose, and core values that represented who we are. And I had a professor that shared a story once, kind of a business case that we were diving into. And a CEO was about a year into their job and declared, we've got a new vision and purpose statement that they're going to roll out. And I forget whether it was vision or purpose, but one of the main lines is, we're going to be, you know, we are the hardest working organization in the world. Like a very grand statement. And someone was interviewing the CEO after, and they said, wow, is that, like, how do you do that? Like, that's an incredible statement you've made. And he said, oh, we're not that at all. This is the worst, laziest organization I've ever worked with. That's what we aspire to be. Wow. So it was getting it wrong. Like, you've got to get your vision, right, and purpose has to be your DNA. It's got to be who you are today. Yes. And that's kind of where Tanya and I started down the path. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to capture and get the ideas, you know, out of people's minds and what are their future kind of future aspirations. We need to get that out today. We need to try to document it and then build the aspirational in on top of that. So it really does reflect who we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of that is storytelling. You know, you really learn a lot about a vision and a purpose and values by listening to stories about employment opportunities or, you know, when the port helped somebody personally or professionally. And so that's the essence that we were really looking for in those sessions. And that's what we feel we really provoked and provided.
Yeah. So we did it over 2 days. So the first session was our entire team. So we've got, you know, at different times we have between, let's call it 45 and 50 people that work directly for the Port Authority. So Tanya facilitated the first one. We gathered everyone in a room and took feedback, and Tanya walked us through an exercise that I hope you can explain a little bit about how you facilitate that. Then the very next day we met with our board of directors. So we have a board of 7 individuals who are appointed by 3 levels of government: the federal, provincial, and municipal government. And we walked through the exact same process, and then Tanya took all the information and data. And we started there.
Yeah, and reams of data and information. But what we found was that there were some really significant themes in all of that. And the themes were pretty clear. And not only were they results-based, but they were also behavioral-based and motivation-based. So when you heard the feedback, it wasn't just about a cold, hard result that the port had achieved, or that it focused on. It was about how ethical and behavioral leadership work gets done at the port. And so that's really what we heard. It wasn't just the, you know, here's what we did, here's our scorecard, check, check, check. It's here's what we've done, and here's how we've done it as we've worked with the team.
Right.
So a lot of really good conversations about leadership, about respect,
right,
and about how as an organization the port has evolved.
And one thing I learned through this process from Tanya is these exercises are just as much about what you don't want to be, mm-hmm, you know, as it is about what you want to be. And that's how, when you do that deep dive and you challenge your own assumptions and you strip away everything and you come up with the core of who you are as an organization, that's in the power of the language that we want to put on a piece of paper. We don't just want this to be a document that is on a shared drive or people refer to in the employee handbook when they get hired. We want people to represent these values and understand the vision and purpose and reflect it in every interaction they have with the stakeholder, with community, or with their fellow colleagues.
Because everything to me, whether it's in work or personal, it's all about maintaining relationships. And I think it's so refreshing to hear you talk about looking at it from a behavioral and an ethical standpoint, because, mm-hmm, you know, even if we just go back to one of your core parts of business, HR and things like that, I think people that are looking for work aren't necessarily just going to interviews anymore. They're becoming the interviewer.
No question.
And really making sure that, you know, if I'm going to give my time to an organization, do I really care that they give me a gym membership, or are they really pushing forward what they stand for?
Yeah,
right. And
absolutely.
I think you can see organizations that do great at that and some that do really, they push for excellence, mm-hmm, on that. So I think it's really cool. And I just don't think maybe the average person understands what that work meant. So I think this is so cool to actually dig into it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there are a couple of pieces to that. And I think that the power dynamic has absolutely changed in that the employee is now in control of the market, is what I would say.
Yep.
And as employers, it is really important that we help to articulate what it's like to work here in whatever capacity that means. So understanding your purpose, talking to people about the core values, how it matches with their core values, how it matches with their own personal mission statement,
right,
because a lot of us have those. And I think that's a great practice to individually think about, what is my mission or what is my purpose?
Yeah.
What are my values? And does it match this employer? Because that's when we run into issues, is when there's a values mismatch.
True.
Or our mission isn't aligned with the organization we're working for. So getting clear about mission, values, purpose, you know, vision, it happens personally in your own life, and it also happens professionally. And when those two mesh, it becomes a catalyst for growth for both the organization and the individual.
Yeah. And so how, after you guys have done this workshop, what happens so that it doesn't just become a shared folder on a drive? How did you guys start rolling that out? What does it mean after the slides are out in the public?
Yeah, so after Tanya and the Chapman Group help us put it together, and our senior leadership team, we were presented with the findings, and this is where we were headed, and we shaped a little bit of it. We began to shop it around. So back to the audiences that helped create it. So all of the staff at the port, our board of directors, and then we went outside to key stakeholders and community organizations that really know us really well. So we wanted to validate it. We didn't want to make it a big facilitated exercise. We wanted it to be more conversational because we have these relationships with many people on a day-to-day basis. So we wanted to make it casual, and I often took the document with me. I'm looking at it right in front of me here. Those of you that are watching this on YouTube, I took this around with me to several meetings, and as did some of my colleagues, and we made some tweaks, but really we were overwhelmed with how much people said this represents who we are and who we are today. So maybe without further ado, I just give the audience an idea of what we came up with, and then we can talk a little bit about it, because I think you're going to see a lot of commonality across our vision, purpose, and values. Yep. So our vision is to be a catalyst for growth, recognized for our community leadership. Our purpose is, through our focus on people, we serve as connectors who find innovative solutions to create economic and social value. By building partnerships, we provide a platform for prosperity and sustainability. As a resilient pillar of the community, we anticipate business needs and adapt to the changing times. So I'll stop there before we go to core values. But that's, Tanya, what is your view on what we ended up coming with for vision and purpose?
Well, what I loved about what you ended up coming up with was that it spoke to the themes that all of the audiences who participated in those sessions really brought to the surface. And I also think people can see themselves in there. You know, when you think about a really solid vision and purpose, I should be able to see how I can contribute. And again, if you think about performance for organizations and for individuals, if you can tie your vision and your purpose to your strategic priorities, to your operational plans and budgets, but then more importantly, to your daily goals, what are you doing every day to move the organization forward? Or what are you doing even in your own life around wellness and work-life balance, that creates the energy for you to contribute, really important. Yeah, so it really is about, that strategic alignment and congruency in all of those areas.
So I'm going to ask Kate a really difficult question on the spot. That is not planned. You mentioned you've been with us for seven, 8 weeks, 9 weeks now.
Let's see what happens.
You know, this is still new. Yes. This is still new. We're shaping the vision and purpose and values for the organization. Do you see what you've seen so far? Do you see a little bit of that here?
I mean, I'm. You guys might think I'm BSing here, but I'm not. When you guys say through our focus on people, it's 100% what I see working here, and through everybody that I've met through other partners or other stakeholders, from a comms and even internal operations perspective. Yeah. I love also the part where it says we anticipate business needs, because the port, like I said, after living here my whole life, doing business here for my whole life, I do see them as being so thoughtful, both as an organization, as an employer, because whenever they're doing business, they're thinking about how it affects the bigger picture. A lot of people only have the bandwidth to think about how it affects that month or even that quarter. So I really appreciate not only the amount of work that goes into this structure and looking at things from where are we at presently, where do we want to go, and how does our focus on people and anticipating these needs and being a resilient partner really affect it? So you guys are living and breathing it. Yep. I feel it walking in. I feel it with the content that's going out. I see it with the crew season announcements. I see it through listening to you guys working with like different stakeholders and saying, will bringing in more crews help? Yes. Okay. Well, how can we set up businesses to be even more ready to thrive? Mm-hmm. Right. So I 100% see it. And it is exciting. It's a nice thing to be a part of. And I think that's another reason why we started the show, was to make sure that other people who are here, even if they're not touching the port or doing port business, that if they're seeing opportunities that friends and family might be a great fit for, or maybe they're an expert in ropes or something like really, really integral to our business, we want to get them on the show. We want to talk to everybody.
Yep.
Right. So I definitely see this 100% across the board.
And we probably need to do another episode at some point too about, and without boring people, of the governance of the port, but just the structure of who we are.
Yeah.
We're not a for-profit business.
Yeah.
We have a profit and loss statement. We do an income statement. We have audited financial statements. We do quarterlies. So it has the appearance of a business, but our shareholder is the Minister of Transport.
Absolutely.
And our mandate is to reinvest in our assets. And what we've tried to do over the last number of years is redefine assets. Yes, they're the waterways. They're the piers. They're the wharves. They're all the traditional civil infrastructure that we see. But it's also our people are our greatest asset. The community around us is our greatest asset.
Absolutely.
And we're trying to embed that into what we define as assets, because that's where our money's got to go. We don't have shareholders that are out there looking for a return on the investment in a traditional sense. Mm-hmm. The return's got to be in making good engineering decisions, making good HR decisions, making good decisions that keep perpetuating a healthy, thriving port going forward. So we probably do need an episode, because I did see one comment, and I shouldn't read the comment section of articles that were noted in, but I did once a few weeks ago, and someone said there's a lot of government money that goes into the Port Authority. It's not a sustainable business. No, we are a government business entity. We are an extension of the federal government, but we're extremely arm's length.
Yep.
So we operate on our own with autonomy, with a board of directors who is responsible for the direct management of the sport. They delegate it to a CEO, but we do rely on government money for the big infrastructure projects that are going to really transform and modernize our port, and all ports across Canada do. It's the way we're set up as part of a national transportation system. So we can have that conversation in a later podcast as well.
I think that's really important. The thing that I've learned about the port is that it's an enabler. You know, when you think about the port, I didn't really give it much thought, frankly, before I started working with the Port of St. John. But when you think about this organization, it is an enabler for business. It's an enabler for tourism. It's an enabler for our community in which we live and work. And I think that's the really cool part of about the port is that it's not a usual kind of organization, in that it is really there to help create other opportunity, which is a really cool part of the organization, I think.
Yeah, and that's when we try to talk about the greater jobs.
Yeah.
A lot of times people say, well, I don't see all these jobs advertised on the Port Authority website. Well, they're not Port Authority jobs. So you touched on a couple areas: tourism, the container growth. We're just putting the infrastructure in place, trying to facilitate, enable the trade or the tourism activity that you mentioned to occur. It's the small business owners. It's the folks that are working for the Longshore Union over on the west side, that they're the ones that are doing the direct work, and that's where we're seeing the jobs and the economic opportunity on the waterfront.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we should get into core values. Sorry,
okay,
I forgot.
Let's do it.
So we did vision purpose. The other big piece of this vision values purpose exercise is the core values. We have five of them now: safety and wellness, drive, integrity, investment in people, and inclusion. So we have we have lines that go with each one of these. So safety and wellness: we make decisions based on a safety first approach, ensuring that we support the well-being of the whole person in every aspect of their life. Drive: our people in our organization demonstrate initiative, innovation, and perseverance in the face of obstacles, working every day to build a world-class port of choice. Integrity: individually and as Port St. John, we treat people with respect and build trust by honoring our promises and being open and honest in our interactions. Hoping we're doing that here today a little bit in the podcast.
Yeah.
Investment in our people: our team's success is our success. By investing in our team, we invest in our community. Learning and developing is a core responsibility. And finally, inclusion: we include others in our mission by engaging our community, building relationships, and ensuring we have a diverse team ready to meet any challenge. So that is our vision, values, and purpose. We're going to be rolling these out a lot this year, and we're quite proud of these of this document and what it means to the organization. You're going to see a lot more of this through 2023 and beyond, but we wanted to get on the podcast today and share a little bit about
this. And just share a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. You know, just give people an idea of what to expect, what this even means, how it might affect them. Because I love the transform to perform. I keep going back to that. I love going back to what's in your DNA as a business, why you start. I say that sometimes in a lot of my consultations.
Yeah.
And I think, like, it's, you know, the more you can know, even if you just see the port every day,
yeah,
and you can kind of understand what the entities are doing, it actually does affect everybody, yep, right? Yeah, and the more you dig in, you will notice that it affects you a little bit more.
Yep.
It affects you wanting to stay in New Brunswick, to bring New Brunswick. Like, it's just, it's a whole big picture to me. So, yeah.
Yeah. And when we talk about transformation, you know, we talked about organizations, but it's also important to think about transformation as individuals, as a team member and as a team. And so for that transformation to occur, you have to give up good for better.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that was really the exercise that we went through, which is to say, you know, here's what's taken us so far.
Yep.
Here's what's going to take us into the future. And I think that's really the important part.
You just are incredible at getting segues, because you're just segued us into the perfect next part. So talk about the future and what do we do with this document going forward. One of the unique things that came out of this exercise was how do we embark upon the master planning that occurs next.
Right.
So 2023, a lot of people in the community and followers of the podcast know the first $205 million that we called modernization, that's really driven this port for the last 5 to 7 years, that project is nearing its end. So we've got other infrastructure projects, but it's now time to pivot and think about the future. And master planning is something that always comes to mind when you think about ports and what the future is. What came out of this vision, values, purpose exercise is that we have tremendous in-house talent. And we tried to look at, with Tanya, master planning a little bit differently, as opposed to going out and having an outside party kind of, you know, do discoveries and come up with ideas and package something back to us. We tried something different that I want Tanya to go into a little bit, and what you're working on with our team and the 8 strategic objectives that came naturally out of the whole process that you undertook.
Yeah, absolutely. After we finished the vision, purpose, and values, we started thinking about what does this actually mean for the Port of St. John longer term. And the port was already undertaking some really interesting and important work. And they had plans for other pieces of important work that were pretty critical to the long-term sustainability and success of the port. And as a result, we put together 8 streams of work that each have a project attached to them. And the project will be, the program of those 8 projects will be run throughout this year and into next year, really helping to understand in detail what's the scope of each of these projects, what does it mean for the future, how do we leverage our talent to ensure that we have the right people in the right place at the right time and the right cost, along with, you know, are we engaging the hearts and minds of the people, and at the same time thinking about things like port expansion and feasibility planning, along with supply chain fluidity. So really taking those kind of core business objectives and understanding again that, yes, there are results-based goals here. There are also some behavioral-based goals here, mm-hmm, and behavioral-based projects like wellness and safety. So again, if we kind of talk about strategic planning with strategic priorities, that's not unusual. What's really unusual about the way in which we went about this was that the port did not outsource leadership for its plan. Instead, what it's done is create teams around these 8 strategic objectives to really drive those objectives forward, and use outside consult when it's important to do so, of course, and to validate, et cetera, but to really again, leverage this team in thinking about how do you move forward long term. And again, the outsourcing of leadership is something that a lot of organizations fall into. This organization didn't do that. It focused on building leaders at every level and recognizing that oftentimes it's a facilitation that you need. It's not necessarily about going and getting the same answers that somebody else might give you when you already know the answer.
That's fair, yeah.
But testing and validating it so that there is that check and balance to the project.
Yeah. So for us, the big thing, and as Tanya mentioned, to try to keep it as internal as we can, and then go out and find those external partners on an as-needed basis. The structure that we put around this is Tanya staying with us through 2023 and 2024 to help embed this in people's personal goals and objectives. Mm-hmm. And we have three sponsors, myself and our Chief Operating Officer, Andrew Dixon, and Vice President of Engagement and Sustainability, Paula Copeland. So we've each divided up these eight projects. We're viewing that as a traditional project management. You come up with a charter, you build an internal team. We've identified eight project leads, all internal, who are building out internal teams. Oh, and then
so
you go out and get the outside expertise as needed. And we're going across a broad range here. We have everything from, as Tanya mentioned, supply chain fluidity study with partners like DP World, to sustainability and decarbonization plans to plan on getting to 2030, 2050 targets, understanding where government and community are going with their decarbonization plans. And then we have terminal planning and asset management study, taking the infrastructure that we have today and making sure that we're making the proper investments so that we're looking 100 years out. And that ties into environment as well and water levels and what are all the things we need to be doing, thinking long term at the port. So Tanya's helping us with that right now. We're scoping the projects, and we're pretty pleased where we are right now.
Yeah. I got a question.
Yes.
So I know a lot, like in my business with marketing and branding and storytelling, a lot of times you'll look for a vibe or some inspiration, or you might look at how a certain business might resonate with your values or your work ethic. Is there another port or an organization that you guys found that you were resonating with or that you might have used as an example, or are you guys the front runner and creating, you know, this new vision for ports that maybe other ports might look to follow?
I'll take the first stab at that. Not really drawing a lot of inspiration from other ports on the structure of the eight. Definitely draw a ton of inspiration on what kind of port we want to be. Look to European ports specifically, like Antwerp and Rotterdam.
Okay,
and
that was my question.
Ones that integrate so well with the community and are thinking about, you know, how do we adapt to climate change?
Gotcha.
How do we make the community, you know, more integrated into the port and do it in a way that livability of the person is first and foremost, along with the future business needs. So drew a lot of inspiration from other ports. So one pillar, for example, is the port city transitions plan that we're working on with the city of St. John. How do we improve those buffers and community spaces? If you go to Vancouver, for example, a beautiful city in Canada, they've got a lot of port activity very close proximity to residents, probably even closer than we are here in St. John. And they just do it, you know, not without its challenges. No business is without its challenges.
Yeah.
But they do a great job transitioning and having green spaces in that, and they're really factoring in livability into all of their plans. In terms of the approach we did internally, drawing on more of our own resources, I'd maybe let Tanya speak to how unique that is and whether you've seen it elsewhere.
I think it depends on the size of the organization. So lots of really small organizations would depend on internal resourcing simply because that's the capacity that they have at the time. I would say for an organization this size, it's not common.
Right.
And the way in which it has been done is that it takes into account a lot of different best practices. So best practices like employees being engaged in the work and having a say in what the future looks like. Best practices like focusing on wellness and safety and making sure that that's first and foremost in everything we do. Best practices even including, we talked about not outsourcing leadership, but that's a best practice, right? Because if you think about leadership, we know that individuals don't often leave organizations, they leave leaders or leadership. Mm-hmm. And really taking responsibility and holding themselves accountable to that kind of leadership for this sort of strategy is unusual. Yeah.
I'm really glad I asked that question because I was curious before, but as I was listening, I kind of assumed that would be the answer, but I also was curious if you were looking at, you know, whether it was European ports or even just from like a business or like a volume, I was curious, but I kind of figured this would be very unique. Yeah. And I think that, you know, if I'm just speaking candidly, I'd say that, you know, the podcast, the way that you guys are doing comms is very much exactly your mission, your focus on people, being proactive, trying to really see opportunities that don't just fit this port, but other ones as well. So I look at this build out, the show as ways of really becoming thought leaders in the space even more so. And I think that that helps even more with talent acquisition, all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's really, really refreshing to see how much work you guys have put into this.
Yeah. And it's really exciting for me because I get to work with the port in a more intentional way for the next year.
Right.
And I think
year plus plus.
Yeah. We keep getting a plus added on to my year.
Gotta like it.
Yeah. No, it's amazing because I do have so much time and respect for the people of the port and the way in which business is conducted here.
Yeah. Sometimes unusual is a good thing.
Unusual is a good thing.
Well, you know, I just think that's where the good stuff is usually found.
Yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, like I really, I think it is so refreshing to see people just kind of go in, really look at, you know, here are some of the things that we want to do. What are some of the frustrations? What tools could we implement? What processes do we keep and abandon? And sometimes those aren't comfortable conversations. Yeah. Sometimes it costs a lot of money. Sometimes it's taking technology that you spent a lot of money on in the first place and scrapping it because it wasn't adopted internally. Like, and I think, you know, you guys have done a really great job of making sure that, like you said, this has been distributed out to people that it's not just going to be left and not adopted. It's really part of everyday life here at the port.
Absolutely. And I will also say, I think it's important to note, in all of these 8 plans, what has surprised me, and mostly because I hadn't really thought about it, was that the port has so many partners and suppliers and community partners that everybody's going to be involved, not just the people who are working for the port, but, you know, the people that are also involved in those other businesses or community organizations or, you know, other non-governmental organizations that really have to kind of get involved in it, because it really is about being inclusive, and I think that's critical.
And we'll be making sure, you know, through socials and even, you know, ongoingly through the show that, you know, these 8 plans, you know, through the next year or so, we'll be touching base with you, you know, maybe through phone calls or videos and just maybe getting, you know, just a little bit more details as they're being rolled out.
Yeah.
Because now that you guys know what's happening, you'll see these flash on your screen. Now that you know, when someone says, well, what is the wellness and the safety plan mean? Why should we care about that?
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect employment opportunities? What does that mean for, you know what I mean? I think it's almost like when somebody just puts a post out and then it's just, there's nothing that happens to it. I think
No context.
So I don't think we'll end up in that situation.
No,
so
we won't, because that's actually what we're working on now is, you know, that's an example of something that could be huge.
Yeah.
You know, and involve so many things. And as we're working through our project charters, we're really thinking about what's in scope and what's out of scope so that you can make sure that you're delivering what you have committed to deliver. So I think that's a great example of something that, you know, we have to be absolutely intentional about what we say we're going to deliver and talk about that and then deliver it.
No question.
Well,
and we're going to use this podcast as well to bring on some of those stakeholders and partners
throughout
the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had Nutrien on just before the holidays on the first podcast.
Doug, if you're watching, you're an OG now. You better be watching, Doug.
All the way from Sussex.
Right? No, but and if you guys have any questions too for Tanya or for Craig or, well, probably not me. I mean, I can try to answer them.
No.
I'll try, but we'll see how I answer it.
By podcast 4, all the tough ones are yours.
Okay, guys. Yeah. I'm ready for the FAQ.
You're no longer new.
Oh, my goodness, right? Well, if you guys do have any questions for any of us about this episode, previous episodes, about maybe being on a future episode, or maybe there's just something more curious that you want to ask Tanya about structuring this or how her business is working, feel free to get in touch through email, website, contact us. We're happy to make those introductions. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Tanya. Again, we've been anticipating it for a few weeks and teasing it out on the other shows. And I think this is such a big thing rolling into the year, not just for the port, but for the community and for the stakeholders in it. So I think this is going to be, a big episode even throughout the year that we're going to reference back and probably give to employees as well that onboard, right? So, but thank you. Thank you again so much for joining us.
Thanks. Well, my pleasure. It's always great to talk about the work that the port is doing and to recognize the great people who work here.
And thank you.
Thank you.
All superstars for watching this episode of the Port Podcast. And until next week, we'll see you later.
Thank you.
Bye.